We see this diagram up here on the left side. The stories of the kings of Israel are found basically in these books of the Bible. So 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. So when you read those, that's sort of history books about the kings of Israel and Judah. And then you'll find when you start reading about them, there's what's called the unified kingdom. That's when the kingdom was all one. And there were three kings that reigned during that time. First Saul, then David, then Solomon. And during their reigns, Israel was one kingdom. After Solomon came, there was a split. And so it turned into two different kingdoms. There was what was called Israel, and they were the northern kingdom. And they had 10 of the 12 tribes with them. And then the other kingdom was called Judah, and they had two of the tribes. And the sad story about Israel that we learned, I think, a little bit along the journey of this survey through the Bible, is that the hearts of men continually turn away from the Lord. And it's just, we need someone outside of ourselves who can change us, who can save us. And here, all that God had done to bless the people of Israel, we learned last time about the driving out the people out of the promised land and making a way for them, meeting with them in the tabernacle, giving them his commandments, his laws, wanting to be with them and his presence. All these things were such blessings for Israel. Even the prayer that Jim mentioned today, it was a blessing of God upon these people. And yet, with all that, they continually turned their hearts away from the Lord. And eventually, you see over here, the 10 tribes of Israel were basically defeated by people called the Assyrians. And many of them were carried away as captives. Those who were left in the land they actually brought in other nations to intermarry with the people. And it's like Israel dissolved at that point. It's kind of lost to history in a way. And they became the Samaritans. You've heard of the Samaritans, the Samaritan woman, the Good Samaritan. Those are those people. But they came about because their hearts had turned from the Lord. But Judah was no different. They didn't learn from that example. Years later, Judah continued to turn their hearts away from the Lord. And eventually the Lord brought the Babylonians in to destroy Jerusalem, destroy the temple, destroy the city, and carry the people away captive. And they were in the land of Judah for 70 years before they returned. Judah returned. Israel didn't. So that's the differences you'll see. And as you read through the Bible, and you might read some of the prophets, and it might say, this prophet spoke to Israel, or this prophet spoke to Judah. You know who they're talking about. They're either talking to the 10 tribes in the north or the 2 tribes in the south. And you know what their destiny is. Their trajectory is toward these areas of destruction. And when you read about God restoring and bringing back, you also know of the grace and mercy of God upon these people. So what I want to share with you this morning is just a quick overview. And let's begin in Acts 13. You know, sometimes in the Bible you find these little places where God lays out a history, kind of gives us a panorama, just kind of a quick synopsis of the history. And this is one of those places. So it says, the God of this people Israel chose our fathers. So we have our fathers down there, clear on the left. That's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And so you know the story of Egypt and the book of Exodus. So God made them great during that time. And with an uplifted arm, he led them out of it. And for about 40 years, he put up with them. Amen? In the wilderness. Because they were nothing but grumblers and complainers there. How many here have been a grumbler or complainer in the kingdom? Well, thank the Lord that he's put up with you too. So he put up with them in the wilderness. And then after destroying seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance. And we talked about that last week, the land. All this took about 450 years. And after that, he gave them judges. We learned about those guys, the judges who came to lead Israel. And then it says until Samuel, the prophet. So Samuel was sort of a turning point. He was a judge of sorts, but he was also a prophet. And he's the one who ordained the first kings. He ordained Saul. He ordained David. He was like a transitional point in the Bible. So until Samuel the prophet. And then verse 21, it says, then they asked for a king. And God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, and this right here is the gist of this message. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. It's kind of interesting to me that he's laying out this whole history, and it kind of stops with David. It doesn't go any further. It's like David is like this, like the pinnacle. He's the greatest king of Israel. He's probably the greatest example of what God wanted out of Israel all along. You see what it says about him? I have found David, a man after my heart. And when you're a man or a woman after God's heart, the other thing flows from that, which is he will do all my will. And that's exactly what the problem was with Israel. They were not after God's heart. And they didn't do God's will. And eventually their hearts turned against him. And they followed after other gods. And God removed these people from the land. He desired to bless them, but their hearts were turned from him. But you see here this place where he stops his history with David, and then he leapfrogs all the way over to Jesus. Because ultimately, what he's looking for is the Savior, the Messiah, for Jesus to come. And it's almost like David, I don't know, I just, when I see that history, go back one slide if you would, when you see that history, and you see it ending with David and then leapfrogging to Jesus. Remember when we first began this thing? It gave the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of Abraham, son of David. Remember that? And David is a key figure in the Bible. I think, as I said, he's the greatest king of Israel. He's an example of what God wants out of his people. And it has to do with heart. God's looking for hearts. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the whole world, searching for those whose hearts are fully his. That's what he wants. He longs for that. Just the people who would, with all their heart, turn to the Lord. And sometimes we give the Lord a piece. We give him a part. Or sometimes we don't even want him in our life at all. We reject him. We turn away from him. And all he wants from his creation is his heart would be turned toward him. God longs for that. And he was overjoyed when he found David, a man after my heart. Saul's heart turned, but then he said, I found David, a man after my heart, who will do all I want. And I feel that God was just overjoyed with this young man, David. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, when Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. And I skipped a few verses there, but basically it says his sons did not walk in the ways of Samuel, so the people basically rejected him. And it says in verse 4, all the elders of Israel gathered together. They came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, behold, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the king, this thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And so Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, obey the voice of the people in all that they say, for they have not rejected you. They have rejected me from being king over them. That right there is the problem. The people had come to this place that they no longer want the Lord to be their king. And you know, that's exactly where we are in the world today. We don't want him to be our king. Even sometimes, can I say it, that it's even possible for us who are Christians to push aside the kingship of Jesus. I'm talking about kingship, where he is the king. He's in it. He brings a kingdom. It's different than this world's kingdom, isn't it? The kingdom of God is way different than the kingdom of this world. And what these people were after, he said, give us a king so we can be like everybody else. They wanted to be just like the world around them instead of being this unique people whose God was their king, whose heart was toward the Lord. And so they pushed him away. They said, we want a king. We want to follow this king. We don't want God to be our king anymore. And I just pray. I pray for us. I pray for Christians all over the world that we would embrace the kingship of Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. He's merciful. He's loving. He's all that, but he's the king. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I mean, what else can we do? What else can we do when we come into the throne of a king than to worship and bow down and walk in obedience toward him? Now, let's talk about the United Kingdom for just a minute. And you see that Saul, when he was the first king, God chose him, first one. He was a big man, head and shoulders above everybody. And God changed his heart. See, it takes a heart to follow. It takes a heart to lead. And so this Saul was given a new heart by the Lord. It says in 1 Samuel 10, the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you. This is Samuel speaking to him when he was making him the king of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you. You will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. And then later on in that verse, down around verse 9, it says God gave him another heart. And that's so necessary, so needed, that here's Saul, just a man like any other man. And the Lord said, I'm going to cause my Spirit to come upon you. I'm going to give you an anointing that comes from the Lord. I'm going to change you. You're going to become a different person. I'm going to put my Spirit there, and you'll become a new man, a different man. That's what the New Testament's all about. It's about us being turned into new men and women. Because without the Spirit of God, we're no different than these people, Israel, who say, I don't want God to be my king. I don't want anybody to rule over me. I want to rule my own life. And so it takes this change of heart. And so it began with Saul. And yet, through his life, we find that he disobeyed the Lord. He turned his heart away regarding the commandment to destroy the Amalekites. And in chapter 15, verse 11, the Lord said this, I regret that I have made Saul king. Why? He's turned his back from following me. Has not performed my commands. So you see, it was a heart that was changed, but then along the way, his heart turned. And the Lord said, I'm sad that I even made, I regret that I made him the king. And so he began to search around, and he found David. And remember, David wasn't even the first choice of his father, because he was the youngest, a ruddy youth, the Bible calls him. And the Lord said, don't judge him as man judges. Man looks on the outward appearance, but what does God look at? The heart. See, they were thinking that David's oldest brother was going to be the king because he was big like Saul. He was big and tall and strong like Saul was. He said, don't look at their outward appearance. Look at the heart. That's what God's looking at. And so he found David. What does it say here? Verse Samuel, chapter 13, verse 14, he says, this is again Samuel speaking to Saul, your kingdom will not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for that even today, brothers and sisters, a man or a woman whose heart is his, a man after God's heart. And he found David. But you know what it says in 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 5? Look what it says there. David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he did not turn aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. That seems like a small thing, but it was a big thing. You know, David committed adultery. He murdered the man's wife. He lied and covered it up. It was just it was a terrible thing that happened. And yet, the Lord looks down at this man. He calls him a man after my heart. And that, I tell you, that offers such hope for us. See, when God's calling us to have a heart toward him, it's not like we're going to walk in perfection. You know, David had this issue. And I love the fact that the Lord stuck that in there. And yet he calls him a man after my heart. And so for you, if you're sitting here today and say, I don't think I could ever be a man or a woman after God's heart because I've done X, Y, Z. Don't believe it. You can be a man after God's heart. The question is, what do you want to do from today forward? Turn your heart to the Lord fully. Let him be the king. Solomon's heart. You know, Solomon was David's son. It says in 1 Kings 11, Solomon clung to these in love. What? What did he cling to in love? 700 wives and 300 concubines. That guy was some man. Think about that. What in the world? But the Lord told the people, listen, if you marry the women of the land, they will turn your heart from me. And that's exactly what Solomon did. He was the wisest man. God gifted him with wisdom and understanding above all the people on the earth. He was the wealthiest of the kings. The blessing of God was poured upon this man in abundance. But what happened? His heart was turned. His heart was turned. And so this is what it says. His wives turned away his heart. Brothers, our wives do turn our hearts. How many have found that to be true? Men? Just me? All right. A couple of us? Huh? What's that? You got to ask your wife for permission. Yeah. Am I allowed to raise my hand or not? That's funny, but it's for real. Our wives turn our hearts. But listen, it's good to have a godly wife who turns our heart toward him. Amen. If our wife has to point out the fact that we're being, you know, like a butthead about stuff, receive it. Receive it. Hopefully she's turning us to the Lord. These women, they didn't know the Lord. 700 wives, 300 concubines. They didn't know the Lord, and they turned his heart away. It says, when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. Imagine that. After all that God had done in his life, his heart is turning to actually worship other gods. His heart was not wholly true to the Lord, his God, as was the heart of David. The heart of David. It's almost like David became this standard. And the Lord begins to judge the other kings of Israel to how are you matching up to David? See, David was this man after God's heart. You're going to see that in a minute. I'm going to bring up several more scriptures. But it's like David became the example. His heart was not fully the Lord's like his father David. Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, did not wholly follow the Lord, as David, his father, had done. Now, once Solomon had a son, his name was Rehoboam. Solomon died, Rehoboam takes over. And the people were asking Rehoboam if he could just lighten up the load. And Rehoboam said, he says, my father was, his load on you was like my pinky finger. I'm going to be like a thigh to you. I'm going to really pour on the pressure. And the people rejected and rebelled and turned away. And God actually tore 10 of the tribes away and gave it to a man by the name of Jeroboam. So there's Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And Rehoboam was left with 2 of the tribes. Jeroboam was given 10 of the tribes. And even though part of the reason was that Rehoboam was this guy putting on all the pressure, there was another reason given in the Bible as well. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 11:33. He says, it was because they had forsaken me and worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians. Do you remember who else worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians? We just read it. Solomon, like father, like son. Solomon's worshiping this god. Rehoboam leads the people in the same way. So I want you to understand that you fathers carry such an influence in the lives of your children. They were just walking in the footsteps of their father. They worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of Moab, and Milcom, the god of the Ammonites, just like Solomon did. And they have not walked in my ways, doing what is right in my sight and keeping my statutes and my rules, like what? As David did. See, David is like, this is my standard. They didn't do it like David did. And so we see this next slide here. So we find at this point, the United Kingdom was Saul, David, and Solomon. Saul was a bad king. David was a good king. Solomon started out good and turned bad. Then the kingdom was split. And 2 of the tribes came over to Judah. And over a period of about 390 years, Judah had 20 kings. And 12 were bad. 8 were good. Actually, 6 of those were good and turned bad, kind of like Solomon did. So really, there was just like really 2 guys that were sort of solid. That's the nation of this, Judah. That's the people of God. And then Israel, the 10 tribes, look at what happened to them. 242 years, 19 bad kings, 0 good kings. And the Lord dealt with these people for centuries, working with them, calling them, sending prophets to them, preaching repentance toward them, telling them what would happen if they continued to turn their hearts. And he was merciful, and he was gracious, and he was loving, and he was kind. He kept reaching out, kept reaching out, kept reaching out, and there was just rejection, 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 turning their hearts, worshiping other gods, turning away, and eventually the Lord sent them both toward these exiles. That's the history. That's a short history of what happened in the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. Now, I want to just read a few scriptures quickly. I want to show you how these kings were measured up to David. David became like this standard. Why do you think he was a standard? Because his heart was fully toward the Lord. I have chosen David, a man after my heart, who will walk in my ways. That's all that God wants. It's what he wants from us even today. Somebody whose heart is his, who will walk in his ways. And so you see this standard of David is held up again and again to Jeroboam. Remember, Jeroboam was the one who was given the 10 tribes. You would think he would get off on good footing. Now, I want to follow the Lord. I don't want to do the other gods like Rehoboam and those guys are doing. I want to really serve God. But it says Here's what the Lord said to him. If you will listen to all that I command you and will walk in my ways and do what's right in my eyes by keeping my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, I will be with you. I will be with you. I will build you a sure house as I built for David, and I will give Israel to you. What a blessing is that? But it was a conditional one, wasn't it? It was talking about obedience and heart turned toward the Lord. Later on, the Lord wrote to Jeroboam or spoke to him that he tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. He took the 10 of those tribes from the house of David and gave it to you. And yet, you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart, doing only that which was right in my eyes, David. He spoke to King Amaziah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did in all things as Joash his father had done, but the high places were not removed. So this guy was like partially moving that way. And the Lord kind of gave him a little bit of a kudo here. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not quite like David. See, David's still this, in the eyes of the Lord, he's like this standard of what God's looking for. Asa, 1 Kings 15, Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord as David his father had done. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord his God as his father David had done. Isn't that awesome? So remember that little short history we saw in the book of Acts 13 where it ended with David? David is this guy. He's like this guy that God's holding up as a standard of what a king should be. And he kind of measures these guys' performance to David's life. But it has to do with heart. Heart. And following the commands of the Lord. These next few verses I want to share with you how important the heart is. To King Abijam. 1 Kings 15. He walked in all the sins that his father did. His heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. See, it's a heart issue. It's really a heart issue. Asa, the high places were not taken away. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was wholly true to the Lord. So even though there were still idols in the land, things were happening. It wasn't a perfect place. But yet his heart was there. His heart was there. Later on, Asa turned and did some foolish things. But his heart was toward the Lord initially. He was one of those that were good and kind of turned sour near the end. Josiah, 8 years old. Think about this. 8 years old. The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant. What happened was they discovered the law. It had been hidden back behind someplace in the temple. They found it. They brought it out. They read it. And Josiah hears this. And he's standing there by this pillar. And he made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people joined in the covenant. You get that from an 8-year-old kid. And he was a good king. His heart was toward the Lord. 8 years old. So you're never too young. You're never too young to have your heart fully set to the Lord. And you're never too old to keep it that way. Josiah, before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might. It sounds like the great commandment, doesn't it? To love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Josiah was that. An 8-year-old boy. He turned to the Lord with all his heart, all his soul, all his might, according to the law of Moses. Nor did any like him arise after him. It's almost like he set another standard. David and Josiah. But it was about heart. Hezekiah did not make return according to the benefit done to him, for his heart was proud. You ever had a proud heart? His heart was proud. Therefore, wrath came upon him in Judah and Jerusalem. But Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So the wrath of the Lord did not come in the days of Hezekiah. It's like the Lord spared him. It came later. But he spared him because of what? The attitude of his heart. Pride was there, and then he humbled himself. And his heart became humble. And the Lord blessed him in a way. Zedekiah, he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear by God. He stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord, the God of Israel. This is sad because it's happening while Babylon is beginning to take over the city, taking over. And even at that terrible moment in this history, this king's heart would not turn to the Lord. It's just, to me, it's just unimaginable how hard hearts we can get, how hard-hearted we can become, how full of pride, how, I don't know, wanting something else rather than God to be our king. So I'd like you to stand with me. We're going to close now in prayer. But I want you to think about a couple things. What is really the condition of my heart today? When I sit and think about my relationship to King Jesus, am I fully his? And I'm not here to condemn anybody or to point fingers. I'm doing this evaluation myself. Is my heart fully his? Do I love the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength? Does pride reign in my heart? Or have I been able to humble myself before the Lord? Am I more concerned about what the world is like or what the kingdom of God is like? Am I letting things of this world turn my heart? You can tell. You can tell when your heart begins to turn. Something happens inside of you, deep in your spirit, when your heart is turned. Something happens, and it's like all of a sudden, Jesus isn't all that anymore. And sometimes people get hurt. They get hurt through their life in the church. And they get offended, and they, for whatever reason, they get angry at Jesus. And their heart begins to turn. There's just so many things. I mean, our hearts are affected by so many things around us. But what I'm hoping you can do this morning is just evaluate your heart. Don't reject Jesus as your king. Don't receive him just as the merciful Savior. Don't receive him just as the God of grace. Receive him as my king, King Jesus. He's still full of grace. He's still full of mercy. He's still full of all those things, but he's the king. And he deserves nothing less than full surrender and obedience as our king. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. That's 2 Chronicles 16. So imagine today, the eyes of the Lord are just scanning through the world, and he comes across Alliance, Ohio. What's he seeing? What is he seeing here? What is he looking at? He's looking at our heart. That's what he's looking at. And what is he seeing? What is he going to see when he comes past your house? At the end of the day, the only way it's possible for us to walk this way is when we're given a new heart. Our heart is desperately wicked above all things. You know, it's easily deceived. It constantly turns away from the Lord. The only way for us to walk like David walked, to have that heart toward the Lord, is to have our heart radically changed. And the Lord spoke about that, which we'll cover in weeks to come. That I will give you a new heart, he said in Ezekiel. Ezekiel was one of the prophets that was carried away in the captivity. While he was there, he's speaking to the people. He's telling them about God and about his ways. And one of the things he says is, I will give you a new heart. Why? Because your heart keeps turning away. I'm going to give you new. I'm going to rip out that old thing and put something new inside of you. It's called being born again. It's new. I'll give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put in you. I'm going to remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. That's what makes it so different for us who are followers of Jesus. We're not out there just trying out of our own strength to live for God. He puts his spirit inside of me. The spirit of the king lives in you. Do you believe that? The spirit of the king lives inside of you. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. I say, Lord, thank you for that, because if it weren't for that, I wouldn't want to walk in them. I'd be no different than these people here who had every blessing, every opportunity, everything handed to them on a platter, and yet their hearts turned again and again. And I would be no different if it weren't for that new spirit. If the Spirit of God had not come inside of us to change us and move us to walk in his ways and to be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I give your fathers. You'll be my people, and I will be your God. Isn't that awesome?